from the best-selling, prize-winning author of The Nine, Jeffrey Toobin's The Oath, The Obama White House, and the Supreme Court, is a gripping account of the momentous ideological battle between the conservative majority on the Supreme Court and the Obama administration, and the one case in which, improbably, the Chief Justice joined forces with the president. Jeffrey Toobin will be sitting down to discuss his new book, The Oath, which will be happening at the Maple Street School in Manchester Center, Vermont. I'll be talking to him on the 17th, and you can find out more information about that event by going to northshire.com. It's a great pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Toobin to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good to talk to you.
Well, I look forward to our conversation, and it's very good to talk to you this morning about the book and about the event, obviously. How did you come to write about this particular relationship between the president and the Chief Justice?
I had written The Nine in 2007, which was an account of the Rehnquist Court. I, given the reaction to that book and given my continuing interest in the Supreme Court as a subject, I wanted to follow it up. And as I looked at the next half dozen years at the Supreme Court, what seemed to me clearest was that there was a deep conflict between these two men who, on the surface, have so much in common, Barack Obama and John Roberts.
So much in common in what way? You talk about, obviously, both are married, they have young children, but there are also a lot of differences as well.
Well, that's right, but they also came of age in the Chicago area. Obama was a community organizer in Chicago. Roberts is from Northern Indiana. Both of them went to Harvard Law School. Both of them were very successful editors on the Harvard Law Review, the student-run publication. But I think what's quite different is the attitude towards legal change. John Roberts comes out of a conservative tradition that has a long list of legal precedents it wants to change. Barack Obama, though he is certainly known as an advocate of change in other areas, is actually a great supporter of stability at the Supreme Court. And that conflict between change and stability is really the heart of what the oath is about and what the nature of their conflict is about.
Looking at, you start off by talking about the oath of office that the president took in 2009. What was it about the taking of that oath that really set the tone of the relationship between the two men?
Well, I have to say, the story of the oath, the botched oath, had never really been told before, why it was messed up and how it all unfolded.
Right.
First of all, that was just an interesting story, I thought, of just sort of cross signals and a mix up, and I don't think there was anything sinister involved there. But it did seem to me as an apt metaphor for the nature of the relationship between the two. I think even then they recognized that their interests were potentially in conflict, and that turned out to be the case sooner rather than later.
And this became one of the cases, you started off the book with this, where somebody looks at somebody else and says, "Do you think he's really the president? Should we try this again?"
That's right. And you know, for the first time in American history, the oath was redone on January 21st, the day after it was originally supposed to have been done. And I think the nature of the conflict between the two, you know, was under the surface. You know, Roberts couldn't have been more of a gentleman about his redoing the oath, but there was no doubt that there was conflict in the air.
When you think about that relationship between any president and a chief justice, it seems as though even if the ideologies and the parties align, that it can often be a rocky road and a somewhat fragile relationship.
It can be. It can be. There is a certain built-in conflict. Supreme Court justices are there for life. Presidents only have 4 or 8 years, so they operate on a different schedule. And you know, the Supreme Court does not have to worry about the opinions of Congress. Does not have to worry about public opinion. It is the final arbiter, and that leads to inevitable conflict, and it has. Or it almost always leads to conflict. I shouldn't say it's inevitable, but certainly many presidents have had problems with the Supreme Court.
And you write about this, it is John Roberts who is determined to use his position as Chief Justice as an apostle of change, and ultimately the president who is determined to hold on to this older version of the meaning of the Constitution. How is that playing out?
Well, I think the verdict is out, as the lawyers say. It is not resolved. I mean, when you look at John Roberts' participation in the Citizens United decision, which was written by Justice Kennedy, there is an example of tremendous conflict between the Supreme Court and the president, which was played out in public at the State of the Union address in 2010. When you look at the future of affirmative action, something that the president supports very strongly, which appears to be in great jeopardy currently at the Supreme Court. Now, of course, there was the health care case where Chief Justice Roberts surprised everybody, at least including me, and said that the health care law could stand. That is an exception, and I continue to believe it will very much be the exception because John Roberts will promptly return to being the strong conservative that George W. Bush nominated him to be.
The Citizens United case was so interesting, and you write about it in a fascinating sense in the book. There we are in 2010 in the State of the Union address, and the president is criticizing the ruling. And there you have Justice Alito muttering, "Not true," as the president is speaking. This all seems quite monumental.
Well, it was, you know, it's funny. A lot of people criticized Obama for what he said. A lot of people criticized Alito for his response. I actually thought it was a terrific civics lesson for the public. I thought it was great that both of them did what they did because it showed the nature of the conflict between the two. It showed that the conservative majority on the Supreme Court and this president are on a collision course. And that's the public's business, and I don't see any reason why the public shouldn't be able to see that.
How has that decision, do you think, or did that decision have any influence ultimately then on health care, or were they not linked, do you think?
Well, I think maybe in an abstract way. You know, John Roberts sees himself correctly as the custodian of the court's reputation, and he knew that the Obamacare case followed Bush v. Gore in 2000, Citizens United in 2010, both cases where five Republicans, you know, engaged in a decision that really helped the partisan goals of the Republican Party. If that happened for a third time in a third consecutive major case, I think Roberts knew that the court's reputation would be in some trouble. So he looked for a way out. He looked for a way to resolve the case in perhaps a more narrow way, and but managing not to make it a partisan conflict where he sided with the four Democratic appointees. And so in that respect, I think the cases are tied, but I do think Roberts will not be looking for that sort of out on a regular basis.
I do think it's interesting. Obviously, you write about the relationship between the president and Justice Roberts. But it is inevitable, of course, to talk about the relationship between Justice Roberts and the other justices on the Supreme Court, and that also is a fascinating mix.
It is a fascinating mix, although unlike earlier times in the court's history, when there has been really rancorous, awful relationships among the justices, you know, in the 1950s they were known as nine scorpions in a bottle. This is a court where they place a great premium on getting along with each other. They're disappointed when they lose cases, but they recognize that they need each other. They're all repeat players, and it is an opportunity that they get along better than I think most people think they do.
You talk about this in the book about the Roberts Court and how much power it can have, and quite frankly, how much power it could have, and how much of that lies on the president, and how much of that is simply has to do with our culture, has to do with the thoughts of the people and what is going on in the greater culture.
Well, I think the Supreme Court is what you get when you vote for president. There's a very clear correlation between the winners of presidential campaigns and how the Supreme Court turns out to be. I don't think. Yes, it is true that when you talk about an issue like gay rights, which has really been transformed in public perceptions over the years, in 1986, when the court heard a gay rights case, Justice Lewis Powell said to his law clerk, "I don't think I've ever met a gay person." No Supreme Court justice could ever say that today because the world has changed so much. But certainly the law is a political instrument, and it follows that the president who appoints the judges and the justices has an enormous amount of influence.
And you look at the issues before the court and women's rights and gun rights and freedom of speech and the death penalty and the difference between the barriers between church and state and health care reform, huge issues, very political issues, and you think, will these always be fights? Will these issues in some way, shape, or form always be fights?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people always say to me, you know, why can't the Supreme Court just do law? Why do they have to be so political? But these issues are inevitably political. So asking when the Supreme Court, you know, gets out of politics is like asking when congressmen get out of politics. It's just never going to happen, and the system was not set up that way. So I don't criticize the justices for being in the political thicket. That's just how the system is set up. And fortunately for me, it's interesting material.
The name of the book is The Oath, the Obama White House and the Supreme Court. Jeffrey Toobin will be speaking in Manchester Center, Vermont on the 17th of November at 7 o'clock. It'll be a live stage event. I'll be interviewing him for a live book show, and that event will be obviously taped and later aired here on WAMC. Again, the name of the book is The Oath. You can find out more information about the event at the Northshire Bookstore, held at the Maple Street School in Manchester Center, Vermont, by going to northshire.com. Jeffrey Toobin, a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much, and I look forward to our event on the 17th.
Me too. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, The Oath. It is published by Doubleday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.